Enter. This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Tuesday, the 5th of September, 2021, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Today's show is called Cancel Culture, The Value and Dangers of Cancel Culture, from cutting people off to politics to R. Kelly to the justice system. And my guest co-host today, welcome back, Mr. Darwin Thompson.
Good morning, Bahamas, and good morning, Erin. It's good to be back.
Great to have you. I know the women in your life have you busy, buddy. I scared to call. How is the young one?
She's good. Growing very fast.
Good. The speed
is incredible.
But look here, you gotta catch up.
Oh, definitely.
Don't hold them back.
No.
You gotta match their pace.
Of course.
In that process, yeah. They learn, right?
Right.
They learn spatial awareness,
yes.
And they realize when you can no longer match their pace,
right.
And they begin to accommodate themselves for you.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
That's real community.
Right.
Good morning, everybody. I see, it's October. Listen, you're absolutely right. I put September again. Thank you very much, Texter. I don't even believe I did that. I believe somebody is hacking my phone.
Oh,
and
God.
That's what happens when you don't pay Chicchanis on time. They are resourceful.
Yeah. They mess you up.
They ain't waiting for no courts. They're going to negotiate on the ground. Anyway, good morning to everyone. Before we start the show today, I want to say good morning to that driving school instructor. Mm-hmm. I hope you noticed that your student stopped in the middle of the road for that manhole and manhole cover by Dunkin' Donuts, but almost licked down the pedestrian in front of McDonald's. Here's what the best part is that there used to be a pedestrian crossing right there.
Right.
Now, even if the teams responsible for painting the road didn't put the pedestrian crossing back there, the pedestrian crossing is still there,
unless there's
a public notice that it no longer exists there. But furthermore, you obviously creating a bad tourism ambassador because you can't be licking down people in front of the hotel. What is the percentage, what is the probability or the likelihood that somebody you lick down is a tourist? Then we all in problems, right? Lick down a Bahamian. All you gotta do is find a little 4,000.
4,000. Mm-hmm.
4,000. Mm-hmm. What? You look down a Haitian migrant.
Maybe 500.
Yeah. Or a little children.
It's crazy.
Heard a fine of $700.
Right.
Killing a child pedestrian.
As a father, I would lose my mind on that person.
Listen.
It'd be impossible to forgive that person.
Listen, you know what else I see today in the paper that don't really make sense? Well, first of all, you know what else I saw on the road today that didn't really make sense?
Yeah.
I saw this roadblock. I'm not going to tell you all where it is because that's sort of counterproductive for the police, the whole community. I'm your old friend. I'm not going to tell you all where it is. But I thought to myself, the police, the COVID restrictions were amended. So the police can't just stop you to determine your COVID status, right? Whether you're in quarantine, where you're going. They can't do that. Mm-hmm. But I thought I was under the impression, I have not confirmed with legislation, mm-hmm. that you had to have a reason for a roadblock or to stop somebody, right, in that manner. Mm. Anyway, so I saw one of those things, and I wondered, maybe what we need is we need an enhancement of the COVID unit. Right? And we need a new part of that unit, and that part is responsible for disseminating changes in the COVID protocols mm-hmm. and explaining what they mean. Right? For me, one of the biggest issues I had mm-hmm. with the rollout of this new administration is this immediate push to change the regulations, but nobody actually said what
they mean.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
In particular, changing the curfew hours mm-hmm. from 9 p.m., 10 p.m. to 11:59.
That's a good perspective because from my perspective, I always looked at it as a good thing that they were doing so much changes.
Uh-huh.
But I keep forgetting that maybe where I'm at and my level of understanding may be different from others. They may need that.
It's a good thing. I think that it is a good thing.
Right.
But it's important to say to people what is expected of them.
Exactly.
These changes were made to accommodate specific things, right?
Right.
So the curfew was at 10. Yes. It's been moved to 11:59, right?
Yes.
So when the curfew was at 10, mm-hmm. businesses shut down at 8 p.m. So like a restaurant would shut down at 8 p.m., which would give them an hour breakdown or cleanup time.
Yes.
That gives you an hour to end your day and an hour to get home and be home safely before the end of the curfew.
Exactly.
So now it's been moved to 11:59, right?
Right.
And I see automatically some restaurants had already changed their hours to 10 p.m., right?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, hold on. That didn't necessarily wasn't to give you two whole extra hours.
Right.
Maybe give you an extra hour and give your staff an extra hour outside of that workspace, right?
Exactly.
But also to explain that this isn't for party time, mm-hmm. right? This isn't so everybody could be in the bar between the hours of 6 p.m. and 10 p.m.
Right.
or 11 p.m. Mm-hmm. It's so that maybe you could stagger the vibe.
Right.
Right? And we say, hey, we know only a limited number of people could come in the bar. So I'm going to come and hang out for an hour, drink and have fun and talk foolishness, and then go home, creating space for more people to come in and hang out for an hour.
Maybe that's a level of responsibility we haven't necessarily gotten to yet.
And I think maybe it's just something that, well, that's a part of it, right?
Right.
But there are professionals. There are professionals who do this, who come in and assess what's needed for a program, right?
Right, right.
There are people who do this. And I'm sure we have those capacities.
Of course.
In governance, right? So if you're going to tell me that you absolutely need the skill set of a person like Jerome Fitzgerald, despite everything that has happened around him.
Right.
Then you got to show me exactly what those skill sets are, mm-hmm. where they are intended to be focused, and what the intended results are.
Exactly.
Right? Like, I want all of that information. Because if that guy can do that, mm-hmm. If he can help you clean up your messaging, if he has the requisite skills and experience and training to broaden your messaging, make it more cohesive and accessible, right? And don't think I'm just talking to those D students, like you're like to think.
Right, right.
To the business people that don't know how to balance social responsibility with the need to balance the bottom line, right?
Right, right.
Things like that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Keep hitting us with those perspectives. These are things that we don't think about on a daily basis. I have to say that I don't even think about it on a daily basis. I just go about my day thinking, I know what this means, but then others may not.
And that's why the space for critique, the space for questioning is so important, right? But if you come at it with the narrative that, oh, any critique of my government must be rooted in or initiated by my direct opposition,
right?
Then you shut down all of the critique that's necessary to strengthen your own policies and to grow your country.
Exactly.
It's another thing that I saw just before we sort of go on. So there's a story in today's Guardian on the page 2. It's a man caught with drugs on Eleuthera. And he was fined $8,000.
Right.
In fact, I think $8,000 or 2 years in prison, right? And he was found with or having discarded of 4.5 pounds of marijuana.
Right.
With a wholesale street value of $4,500, right? And he is charged, he's $8,000 or 2 years in jail. And then we see, remember there was a story a few days ago, and it's right here. Man sentenced to 3 years in prison over $3 million marijuana bust, and along with a $10,000 fine. I just want to say, how could you, if you've given this guy $8,000 for 4.5 pounds, how this other guy, or let me rephrase that, if you've given this guy just over 3 years, I mean, you're giving him 3 years for $3 million.
Per million, I guess.
Right. And $10,000, along with $10,000 fine.
Right.
How come this guy with only 4.5 pounds get fined $8,000 or 2 years? I mean, the math, like I wanted to say something, but I don't want y'all to get mad at me, but I'm going to say it. It sounds like PLP math. It just don't add up. Right? See, I know y'all, while in opposition, it was funny. It's also funny while y'all are in power.
It still is.
Yeah, yeah. But look here, if I was a 4.5 pound guy, I would have my lawyer on it.
Exactly, exactly.
Right?
Because
this is just, it don't make any sense. And I wonder if people sort of get it from me. I know that we're not going to move into a regime where we truly decriminalize or legalize recreational use if we see such discrepancies in the law, right?
Exactly.
It's obvious that we don't have a single page vision for moving forward on this. But listen, I see we got a caller on the line. Let's get to that caller. Oh, I am sorry, caller. You're going to have to give me a few minutes. We're going to get to you shortly. You stay on the line for me, though. So let's get to cancel culture.
Sure. Let's do it.
Right. So cancel culture or call out culture is a modern form of ostracism in which someone is thrust out of social or professional circles, whether it be online, on social media, or in person. Cancel culture is a form of boycotting or shunning involving an individual, often a celebrity, who is deemed to have acted or spoken in a questionable or controversial manner. Cancel culture allows for people to stay accountable because of all the people on the internet that are quick to cancel. Canceling almost always takes place after someone has said or done something hurtful or harmful, and these people are looking out to make sure the person and others know what they have done and that it is wrong. After these people are called out, they are hopefully given an opportunity to learn from their mistakes and to grow from them. When people on social media call other people out for their actions, they can make tangible changes, tangible change in the world without ever having to be face to face with the person. The combined platform that the person is being called out, and the people calling out obtain allows for a large magnitude of change. It raises awareness on the issue, whether it is racism or sexism or ableism, to allow for people to learn more about it. It encourages people to educate themselves on the matter and others, and to learn what to do to not only make a change in their behavior, but in that of others. Some may even argue that whilst one is partaking in canceling another, they become more aware of their own actions and can themselves also learn from that experience and change their behavior. So, an instance, a couple of years ago, when Buju Banton was preparing to come and perform in the Bahamas.
Right.
And I raised the issue about the song Boom Bye Bye. Right? And there's a lot of furor and a lot of uproar. And one of the things that people said was, you think it gonna matter? Do you think it gonna make it, you saying something is gonna make a difference to Buju, or if it's gonna make a difference to the government, or if it's gonna stop the concert?
Right.
And I pointed out, no, I don't think it's going to stop the concert. That's not the intention. I don't think it's going to force the government to do anything. That's not the intention.
Right.
Right? I don't think it's going to stop the concert, and that's not the intention. The intention is to raise awareness around some of the dangers of the just sort of blatant playing of the song without any commentary to moderate in the 21st century.
Exactly.
Right? And I think everything went well.
Right.
I made commentary. Some people agreed with it. Some people didn't agree with it.
Right.
Some gay people and friends and family of gay people in private messaged me and said, thank you for saying something.
Mm-hmm.
Some gay people in public told me I was stupid and there was no need to raise the subject matter.
Right?
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Some politicians said, hey, thank you for saying something. We were not necessarily in a position to engage the subject matter.
Right.
Right? Like,
right.
But it's about raising awareness.
Exactly.
I see we got a text here.
Mm-hmm.
It says, sorry, I'm coming right now. Good morning, Aaron and guests. If the motorist had knocked down a tourist, all it means is just that. The victim would then be a tourist. The same laws still applies. The law is for all persons, not for skin color or travel class. On the issue of drugs, this ain't new. It has been this way for decades. That's why if you're in the business of drugs, think big and pay less in terms of penalty. That's not business. Don't be giving people that type of business advice on my show, sir.
Horrible advice.
No. Mm-mm. It's horrible advice. Also, it made me, the first part of your text made me think of conflict of interest, dad badge, you know. But that's not necessarily what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the law, the same laws still apply.
Right.
The question is, will the laws be applied equally and equitably?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? That is the question. And some of these mechanisms that I'd be talking about or this conversation suggests we need,
right?
Mechanisms that would manage instances like this to ensure that in a tourist and foreign investor focused country, that citizens enjoy equal and equitable access to the courts. Imagine I have to say that, that the citizens enjoy equal and equitable access to the courts. That's why I don't understand why we're ranking so low in the ease of doing business.
Right.
Because it's very easy for some people to do business here.
Exactly.
And not very easy for others.
Mm-hmm.
Got another text here. It says, Aaron, it's because our justice system is a mess and it takes months for a verdict. That's a part of it too.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, texter. I'm going to go through some texts. Man, caller, I'm sorry I missed your call. Please call me back. Another text, Aaron, the biggest cancel cultures is the LGBT group. Also, can a group whose flag is flown on every U.S. embassy around the world claim discrimination? I will read it. I read it, sir. I'm not going to discriminate against you. Also, but let's go here. First of all, the U.S. is just one country. Mm-hmm. Out of how many? 200 and something country on the planet?
Right. I actually wrote a bit of an article the other day. It hasn't been published yet, about the relationship between the Bahamas, the criminalization of marijuana, racism, colonialism, and the white imagination. And I started to write about all these stuff. And the biggest common factor is the fact that Bahamians look at the U.S. as the above and be all, as the perfect example of a society that the Bahamas would function perfectly in.
Yeah.
Newsflash, guys, the U.S. is a third world country.
Don't be dissing my cousins.
the U.S. is a third world country with first world country money.
U.S. is a developing nation.
Right, we'll call it that.
Like the Bahamas,
yes.
But with developed nation budget.
Budgets, right. Exactly.
Okay, don't be dissing my good cousins like that. I got a caller on the line. Caller, you're on the clock.
Good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning, how you do?
Good morning to you. Yes, I'm good.
Morning.
Thank you.
Morning.
You guys okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Great. You mentioned, this topic came up in reference to something, put the text said in reference to gay, the situation with gays and
the call-out culture.
The cancel culture.
Yeah, the cancel culture, yeah.
Ms. Green?
Uh-huh.
I know there were struggles, and I know the hardships and the struggles and the pain that spread that the gay community, the LGBT community has gone through.
Uh-huh.
And there's still struggles in a lot of aspects.
Mm-hmm.
But that community is one of the most powerful communities in the world. And when it comes to cancel culture, then you see they some cancel on your ID or whatever. You cancel, and it's grown. It's grown. I think because of more awareness, and I think a lot of it because once upon a time it was like those people, but now it's home because we have our children. You know, our sons, our daughters, and we are now experiencing, we love these persons.
Yeah.
They are families, right?
Yeah.
Blood, so we more tend to, and these are people in the most powerful position. You understand, in government high office, so they're going to look out for theirs. We're going to look out for our own. So what I'm saying is to say, we have racism and all of these issues. Do you notice how when, you have persons, even the George Floyd situation. You see everybody, this rise of this whole everything, awareness, all of these.
Social justice movements.
Right, this movement, right?
Yeah.
And then it seems to dwindle off and it dies off.
Yeah, because capitalism is worked that way. They capitalizing, those corporations capitalizing on a moment.
And it's not when it's not popular anymore,
they fizzle away.
It seems to fade away, and the injustices still seem to happen in pockets.
Yes, ma'am.
But I still stand because I know the situation with Lil Nas, right?
Yeah.
The artist.
Yes.
You saw when they came at him, and when you saw the powerful artists like Elton John spoke out.
Yeah.
It was over. And so what I'm saying is a lot. The gay community, the LGBT community. It's a powerful force to reckon with, and it has become that way because it has hit home. So you understand. So
yeah.
There is a voice now. We're in the Bahamas, right? That is still, we still have our viewers on that, right? A lot of persons here,
yes, ma'am.
Worldwide, and especially America. And say what you like about America, it's not just Bahamians. Look at America as being this great big whatever.
The whole world
does. So I just want to put that in that. I want to hear what your views you are on that. I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Absolutely. Darwin, you wanted to say something quickly, yes. And then I'll get to that.
I wanted to talk about the power dynamic that the caller would have mentioned.
Yeah.
That appears to be power, but what we're really seeing is a manifestation of years and years and years of trauma and I want to say conditioning and strengthening of the LGBTQ community to the point where they've now decided that enough is enough. And that's important.
All right.
That seems to be power. But what that is advocacy and work. That is work that has manifested itself.
All right. Now, for me, right, mm-hmm. I appreciate what the caller is saying.
Right.
Absolutely. You will see that there are pockets of very powerful mm-hmm. gay people.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Right? Mm-hmm. I think it's important to make a distinction between the experiences of gay people on the ground who just live in
yes.
and gay people in positions of power, in right. networks of power,
right.
in places like what we call the music industry, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. that we make a distinction in those spaces.
Exactly.
I agree with you. The LGBT community have a strong cancel and mm-hmm. call out and cancel culture game. Mm-hmm. And in this discussion today, I want to question mm-hmm. the value and the danger of it, because I think there is value in it.
Of course.
But if left unchecked, mm-hmm. it can be very dangerous.
Agreed.
When we look at the Lil Nas X situation, mm-hmm. my greatest concern is that Lil Nas X is being used mm-hmm. by powers larger than him,
right.
that are using him to express their own personal and collective agendas, right?
Okay.
I have no problem with Lil Nas X exploring his sexuality,
right.
exploring his sense of self and expression
yes.
on this global platform. Mm-hmm. My concern is that the team around him is not strong enough or doesn't have the capacity to say mm-hmm. or to draw a line of distinction between what is Lil Nas X's vision
right.
and what is the vision of older people, mm-hmm. men and women, gay and straight, that would use him mm-hmm. and essentially pimp or prostitute him mm-hmm. to bring forth their own message, wow. which is different from his.
Right, right.
Right?
Okay, okay.
And so that's very concerning. And
yeah,
and
yeah.
so when parents say, hey, this little Nas X boy, like half of me like him, but half of me is concerned.
Yeah.
I get it, because Lil Nas X didn't get to that point by himself. Mm-hmm. And how much of this expression of self that we're seeing
right.
is legitimately and authentically his or comes
right.
from his community
right.
of his peers
right. Right.
And people in his generation,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think that's...
That's a powerful question.
An important interrogation, yeah. mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. A place to get into, because see, here's one of the problems with cancel culture and shutdown culture. One second. So two
sure,
things,
sure.
just a little housekeeping. Somebody called the text line just now and I had to hang up. And there was another text I think someone sent that was extremely large and you may need to send it again. Hmm. Right? Anyway, just wanted to send that there. I see that caller, Arlington. Are you still taking that caller? Let me read this text. It says,
sure.
Hi, the key to cancel culture is actions speak louder than words.
Mm-hmm.
If no one acts, it's a problem. Okay, I need some time to ponder on that.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe you give me a little more explanation,
mm-hmm.
right? But I like it. Let's go to this caller. Caller, you're on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron Grant.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm so nice today. My health, my voice a little weak. You know why. And good morning to your guest.
Morning, morning.
Good morning.
Baron Green, what basically we are talking about, I mean.
So we're talking about cancel culture and call-out culture. We're talking about how when somebody in a space of prominence does something we think is inappropriate, wrong, mm-hmm. or very problematic, how we deal with it. And I was sort of looking at a spectrum from, like, what we say, cutting off people in our lives. Like, mm-hmm. man, that's the last time my cousin got thief money from me or not pay me back. I
right,
got to cut him off.
But I want to know if you're talking about it in and permanent factors like people of representative.
Yes, from so this is what I'm saying, from that personal space to the political, to the criminal justice system,
to
R. Kelly, because R. Kelly was in this space as well with us, right?
Right.
R. Kelly
need
to be behind. Don't use him as an example. Because he used a woman, a prostitute.
Okay, now listen. This is a perfect example. I with you, right? 20 years of accusations, right?
Right.
Over 20 years. Uh-huh. To the point where people make song about you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then when you learn this about R. Kelly, it says Kelly was himself the victim of child sex abuse and detailed in his autobiography how he was raped by a female family member when he was 8 years old, right? And then couple that with the trauma, or maybe that is a part of the trauma, where he's 8, when he stopped even trying to learn how to read.
Right?
So should we have mercy on him as a man because of that?
Well, the question is, should we have mercy, but more importantly, what does that mercy look like? What does it mean? Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
And because that's important, because the way that we call out or call in people can impact the wider community, right? So we make some young people, it's like in class when a student gives the wrong answer and the teacher ridicules them and the students make fun. Students are less inclined to put up their hand because they don't want to get shame. So the way that, does something need to be done? Of course something needs to be done with R. Kelly. I never thought I would say we should burn music, but maybe we should consider burning this by music.
Yeah.
Right? Except
so
you
definitely they're talking about abandoning its music.
Yeah.
Music.
Yeah, and I think
they're talking about that.
I think the conversation is necessary, but the most I don't think it matters. Okay, what is more important than whether we cancel R. Kelly or not is the manner in which we engage the question.
Right. Now, Aaron and my good friend, let's bring this down home.
Uh-huh.
Should we have a now code of ethics, not just for our politicians, but for any of our leaders?
But I thought we had we had a code of ethics.
It already exists.
But we need a new one.
Do we really have a code of ethics for our politicians?
I don't think so.
Okay, hold on. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
The DNA was campaigning on our record, right?
Yeah.
Let's say there's something we know about or we see something that are not suitable for our politician. Let's say you see a politician coming with a bar, they're drunk.
Right.
Should it be a record system, a code of ethics for that? That's usually an example. That's usually like one example, but you get the picture where I'm going.
So watch this. Walking out the bar dead drunk is not necessarily a problem. Walking out the bar dead drunk in the middle of the day when you're supposed to be working is a problem.
But he's a politician.
Right.
Right.
They like police. They always on duty. Walking out the bar drunk and going to your car and trying to drive it
is a problem.
Is a problem.
What would be the code of ethics for you? Because you use the police. They always
say, that's it.
One of my cousins say, boy, Pete, I gotta go to the bar before I go do a job.
Yeah.
But then again, what would it be then?
I mean, I think the code of ethics needs to
be like a judge.
Yes, it should be like a judge. And let me tell you why. Let me tell you why. Right? Because, we have to grow. We have to regrow the trust deficit. We have to show the people that we're serious about business.
Yeah.
And the only way to do it is to apply those draconian standards of ethics and behavior to themselves as politicians to start there.
Mm-hmm. And because they would sometimes the judge did poorly without you.
I didn't hear you clearly.
Sometimes the court system did poorly without you.
Yeah.
So, but at the same time, politicians get away with a lot of stuff.
Listen, and whether that is true or not true, well, if it is seen
if you look
perceived
at the history,
that way,
about the history, Aaron,
yeah, It becomes a problem. But listen, I got another caller.
All right.
And I got a bunch of texts. But listen, thank you very much for that call. Caller, you're on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm good, thank you.
Listen, I hear you did make one comment saying it's okay for this fella Nas X to celebrate all his, I guess you could call it gain and say, but then you had a problem with Buju Banton.
No,
that's just artists.
That's not what I said at all. No, that's not what I said. When I was referencing Nas X, right?
Right.
A caller called in and pointed out that, look, historically, the LGBT community have a strong cancel culture game, right? And she was referencing the way that artists came and sort of stepped up, prominent LGBT artists like Elton John came and stepped up to support Lil Nas X, right? And what I said was that I'm okay with Lil Nas X, a gay musician expressing himself. I am concerned, though, that other people in the industry, particularly LGBT people, would use Nas X to promote their own personal or collective agendas.
Right.
And so while I think Nas X should have a space to express himself, that space should not be tainted by other people's agendas. Personal, commercial, collective agendas, right? And I'm specifically, I mean, I'm also talking about closeted gay men who would use him to express things that they're too cowardice to express themselves, right? Because he's just a little boy. What I said about Buju Banton was that while I made the critique that we should interrogate the song Boom Bye Bye and ask him if he's playing it and ask him not to play it, right? And although I'm speaking to the government and I'm speaking to Buju, at no point did I intend for his concert to not happen. The point was to raise the subject, to raise awareness. But the subject was not raised to shut Buju down.
Right.
But he is an artist.
Yes.
He only expressing himself.
But I mean, and
that
I
no
said
different
that.
Than when you had NWA come out with their song.
Right.
The police.
Yeah.
They just as artists. And I think sometimes things just go too far. That's only one person opinion. But just his
but listen,
opinion
let's talk, hold on,
far
let's,
because
talk
he is
about
a recording
it.
Artist.
Caller, let's talk about
call.
It. Hold on. Don't hang up. These are good points you're making. Let's talk about it. What I argued was that Buju Banton should use the song as a teaching moment. What I argued that he should not stop singing the song. But he should sing the song, bring in the full context of why he made it.
Right.
And why he made the decision to stop singing it on his portfolio. Mm-hmm. See, the song is more powerful as a teaching tool to raise awareness about the continual exploitation of young people, particularly vulnerable young men in Jamaica. By men that would use sexuality and buggery to try and control young boys. And Buju was expressing the rage of another young person with limited options,
right?
In a system that refuses to help you and does nothing but leave you to resort to violence. And so here are some young people saying, if the young people have to be safe, well, then we have to shoot the people who are raping us in the head.
Right.
What I said was that the song is so important in that context that we should value it and give it the honor and homage that it deserves and use it as a teaching tool as opposed to letting party promoters and opportunists use it to try raise money and raise the crowd by singing shoot gay people in the head without really creating the space to interrogate what the song is really about. Big up Buju Banton, even though he crossed the political line. I see, that's one critique. I'm glad you say that. The question is, should we call out Buju for crossing the partisan political line?
Right.
See, I like Buju when Buju used to bun down all politics.
Exactly.
But now Buju gone
PLP.
Partisan, he gone PLP. Should we call out Buju now? Caller, you still there?
you have to deal with him in that respect, too, because now he want to be a politician.
See, okay, so I ain't dissing. I just saying, look at all of these fantastic and interesting questions mm-hmm. we have to ask each other. Because mm-hmm. I'm not saying shut down or cancel Buju.
Right.
I think Buju is too important to the collective consciousness, right? To shut him down. My question is always for Buju is, do you recognize
right.
the power that you hold in this society, in the wider region, mm-hmm. right? And do you value it? Take it seriously. Right. Thank you for that interrogation, caller.
Yeah, of course. We got to keep you honest.
But you keep me honest. I got your Chinese for that. You got to keep me in mangoes. That's what you got to do. Anyway, thank you, though, for calling. That's my music. I got to go to a break. When we get back, we're going to shut down this conversation with a bunch of texts and a question about call-out culture and the justice system.
Right.
We will be right back. So stay tuned to 96.9 FM.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
The Central Bank of the Bahamas invites students in grades 4 through 12 to compete in the Get Money Smart Bahamas video essay competition. Students must produce a 3 to 5 minute essay sharing their views on the following topic. The Bahamian economy is an ideal model for digital financial services. Get a parent or guardian permission to share the link to your essay with us on social media and have your entry judged for cash prizes in either the primary school division, junior high, or senior high school category. Essay submissions must be received by October 22nd, 2021. For more information, visit GetMoneySmartBahamas.com. Or see our post on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
I've been representing all my life. I'm getting ready to make it count this time. Since it's 2021 for your family line, you better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. The rock, the 242. The count depends on you. So tell Tito, go tell below. Lock it down on your calendar. 2021. This one's for everyone.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You are on the clock with Erin Green. Boy, that's a little hot call, but I like it. No, I like it. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that the caller is comfortable enough to bring that that question. That's a big question. Let me tell you how I know. And I don't get canceled by the local queer community. I don't get canceled by the women's rights community, and mm-hmm. I don't get mm-hmm. canceled by the LGBT community in right. my own country, right?
Right, right, right.
So when you saying that you just keeping me, you want to keep me honest, yeah. Texter, I mean, I'm going to have to meet you. We're going to have an old people conversation,
the
right?
The most honest person I know is
no,
Erin.
No, right? That ain't true. Don't say that. You know more. don't put me in a position like that.
When I say honest, I'm talking about dealing with the root of issues from a perspective that a lot of people aren't ready to tackle.
Yeah.
That's honesty.
I could appreciate that, right?
Right? Right?
But for me, the most important part of the conversation is this, right? Is that calling out is important. Mm-hmm. But before we call out, we should call in.
Right.
Right?
Right.
If calling in doesn't work, and calling in is when you pull someone aside and you say, hey, look here. Right?
This hurt me.
So, like, before I go on the radio and I say, oh, look here, I was on the road and thing, right. I make sure I call your company and say, look here, I was on the road and thing, and this is what happened.
Right.
Right?
Right.
If calling in doesn't work, then you call out.
Exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
If calling out doesn't work, then we move to cancel culture.
And that's where it culminates.
Right. But I think that cancel culture, canceling should be reserved for the most egregious acts.
Right.
Like molesting multiple children in a position of authority where specifically you have oversight or duty of care for children.
Right.
Right? I mean, molesting children should that's cancel you from participating in any children activities.
Mm-hmm.
But particularly if you had a duty of care
to those children,
then we canceling you. There is no more space for you. There's no space. Like, there is space for rehabilitation in your life.
And changing,
In your life. Mm-hmm. Just not in this system.
Right.
With these children or other people that you would have a duty of care for.
Exactly.
Right? But I think cancel culture is problematic in the small society we live in.
Mm-hmm.
And cancel culture is problematic with in the small society we live in,
right,
by population, but also in the sort of closed nature of our communities.
Right, right.
And
right.
Even more difficult without mechanisms to manage conflicts of interest.
Exactly.
I know you wanted to make a point, Darwin, before we close out the show.
Sure. Yes. What I wanted to mention also is the cancel culture within families. I wanted to talk about the importance of understanding that cancel culture in families is necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to leave a positive message for probably some of the younger persons. This is also a message for myself. But canceling family, especially persons that are toxic, persons that seek to use methods of intimidation and manipulation to sort of create this outlook that you are some demonic person, evil person. Remember to keep yourself, your mental health, at the forefront of every decision you make and protect yourself from those people. That's all I wanted to say.
And sometimes when you can't cancel them or disconnect entirely, create mechanisms and networks to protect yourself from those people.
Exactly.
The people who live in hurricane zones can cancel people.
Right.
We all, even whether we don't like you or not, we all have to have a commitment to looking out for one another. I really wish that I could continue the show tomorrow, but tomorrow Guardian will be covering the opening of the new Parliament session at 10 a.m.
Yes.
So please tune in for that. And to all of the people that I think I've been giving the PLP a hard time from the break, there is call-in culture, there is call-out culture, and there is cancel culture.
We had call-in.
We had call-in. All you guys do is pick up the phone and talk to the people. And we would never have to move to call-out. But just trust, nobody going to cancel anybody in the Bahamas unless they absolutely deserve it. And you guys know who you are. You no longer offer yourselves for public life. You know. And we know. Anyway, have a great day, Bahamas. Stay tuned because it's 11 a.m. and that means Levon Miller and Unleash is up next. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Understand.